washed the truck on Thursday. I tell you what, it's like a rain dance, I call it. When you wash your vehicle, guys and ladies, you know how it goes. The rain is what dirties your vehicle. You're driving down the road and that nasty stuff's coming up. And soon as I washed it on the way home, and I saw it, I knew it was coming, but I had to do it. You know, you finally get some time to do it. You just got to get it done. And so I'm driving home, watching the vehicle in front of me, throwing up that nastiness on my wash truck, and so sad. But, you know, I think about the rain, and sometimes I just don't like the rain. Have you ever had those days? You know, maybe you're watching the satellite, if you've got satellite TV, you're watching the Food Network, and they're teaching you how to make some good filet or steak or whatever it is you're watching, or some kind of Chopped show, and you've got that satellite, the picture's great, and then, oh, the rain comes, and all of a sudden the satellite doesn't work. Rain, go away, right? You're on the computer and the storm makes your electricity go out and you lose the work you were doing, or the internet messes up and you can't use that video on YouTube, or Facebook won't click to the messages anymore, right? Rain, go away. You have to walk out to your car and you're going to get wet and it's inconvenient. You know, I thought that way about rain for a long time, even this past week. But I was preparing this study, and I hope that I can give us, I say us, a new perspective on rain. Because really and ultimately, I hope by the end of this study we'll see that rain is a blessing from God. And it's sad because you see in the movies and with music and the way movies and things like that can be a very good thing. They're clean, if they're clean, I should say. But a lot of times when you've got that dreary moment, what's the weather doing outside? It's raining. You know, rain is kind of associated in slow music with things that are sad and things that are negative, and that's kind of been instilled in our minds. And so we don't like rain, but rain is truly a positive thing. By way of introduction, I want to, helps you flip, if you turn it on, by the way. By way of introduction, I want to talk about a few things about rain. Number one, I want to ask this question: who or what controls the rain? For a long time, you remember that Native Americans, different groups of them would do different things, but in general, many of them believed that there were rain spirits. And in order to have a good and bountiful harvest and plenty of rain during the farming season, they would take a couple of days and they would do a ritual, very religious in a sense. And they would, basically they would drink, some of them I was reading would drink cactus juice, a cactus drink until they were just full, and they would do some dances. I was reading about one called a snake dance, and very popular things, and they believed, they were, you know, it was superstition that this would cause the rains to come, and the rain spirits or rain gods would cause their harvest to be bountiful. We know that's not exactly how it works. I remember in college, being in the band, we used to joke, I've told you before, we would practice on that huge black asphalt in the summer at the end of July. It was very hot. Of course, now I was in Alabama, it'd probably be even worse down here, but you know, it was in the 90s, and on asphalt it felt like 250, and so you're out there doing all that, and we used to joke that the band director, Dr. Botterford, we would say he had a rain machine, because it would never rain. It would rain up until practice, and then it was over, and then it would, you know, I feel like I could count on one hand in 4 years how many times practice got rained out. That probably is not true, but it felt that way. But the fact is, nobody has a rain machine. Nobody can do a rain dance and cause the rains to come. You know, they even talk about this in the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 14 and verse 22. Are there any vanities among the Gentiles that can cause the rain? Vanities was a reference to their gods, their false gods. They were vain, they were false, and so they called them vanities. Can those vanities, can even they create the rain? No. The end of that verse, only God who created these things can control them. The conversation between Job and our Lord, Job chapter 38 and verse number about verse 28 there, in this conversation of all these things as to why God is so great and powerful, and he asked Job, who is the father of the rain? Who is the father? And the answer was very obvious: God. There's only one that can control the rain, always has and always will, and that's God Almighty who created it. And rain is truly a blessing. Let's dive into this as we get going. If I was to put the lesson into 2 points, it would be that rain is a memorial of the will of God, and it is a method of the will of God. Those are kind of our 2 points, I guess. Let's start with this idea of rain being a memorial. God uses many things that we talk some a lot often, I should say, about symbols, how he uses figures and things like that, of that nature. But he also uses things to fulfill his will, in particular things of nature. For example, Genesis chapter 9, when God, after he flooded the world, you remember, and by the way, this memorial was set up for God and man. He said, I set the bow in the cloud so that when I see the bow and when you know and your family see that bow, the rainbow, he says it's a token, it's a reminder of the covenant between I, God speaking, and you, the people, and that I will never flood the earth, I will never destroy people in this way again, not with water. And so that was a memorial, a reminder, right? Another example, Exodus 12. You think about the Passover feast, right? What was one of the reasons he had them do that every year? The 7 days of unleavened bread, the feast that went along with that, why was that there? Well, God explains one of the reasons is so when you do this and your children come up to you and say, hey, Mom, Dad, what is this all about? Why are we doing this? Right? Then God says, you're going to tell them. Well, this is a reminder. It reminds us that God passed over the land of Egypt and how he delivered us from them and all the plagues that took place and how he parted the Red Sea. All of those things were reminded by that fact. You see, we serve a God that doesn't just put us here and say, hey, best of luck to you. He gives us reminders. He gives us things to trigger our minds. It's interesting to me, probably more interesting to me than it is to you, but I can't help but share this for what it's worth. You know how that goes sometimes, but I hope it's as interesting to you as it is to me. I one of the things about me, if you've ever noced, some of you will say to me, Dalton, I like that your lessons are simple. You're easy to understand, and I appreciate that, but what I tell you, and I mean it, is the reason that my lessons are simple is because I don't know big words anyways. Even if I knew, if I knew them, I might use them to make myself feel smarter, but I just don't know them. But oddly, I was a math guy, not a vocabulary guy. That's my excuse. But vocabulary and me just don't get along. But there's one word, it's not really a big word, but for me it is, that I always remembered from college, and the word is mnemonic device. And it's very simple, really, but I always thought that was a cool word to say and to know. And it was interesting because it spelled M-N-E-U, and I thought, mnemonic with an M? So I thought, hey, I know a pretty cool word. Well, here's why I tell you that. As I was doing this study, it reminded me, ironically, of the word mnemonic device. And what that word means is it's something, a tool, a resource, something that is used to remind you of something, a trigger. And so, in a sense, God is using these parts of nature, these tokens, as he calls it, as mnemonic devices. Now, here's why this is so interesting to me. I got to thinking about that word mnemonic. In fact, today, as I was, and I already had built this PowerPoint, but as I was doing my last review, I thought, I wonder where mnemonic comes from. And I looked at Acts 10 and verse 4. I remembered that passage because the word memorial is there. And if you wouldn't believe, the word there is mnemonuos, something to that effect. And when I looked that up, I realized that that is the Greek word from which mnemonic is transliterated. Do you remember that? It's transliterated. In other words, they took the Greek word that I tried to say, I won't attempt it again, it may be worse. But they took that word and they transliterated it, not translated it, and they made it an English word. And that's why it's spelled M-E-N-E, very strange. Mnemonic device. That's exactly what God meant when he says memorial. It's a device, it's a resource, a tool to trigger in your mind what God has done for you. I want you to remember. Why do we take the Lord's Supper? It's done in remembrance, mnemonic device. It's done in remembrance of him. It's to remind us every week of the sacrifice of our Lord. And that motivates us. It leads us, hopefully, if we've got a good heart, an open heart, an honest heart, to want to serve him because we remember what he's done for us. All of these devices or ways of remembering. One more that I put down here, Joshua 4. Do you remember when they passed through Jordan with the Ark of the Covenant? And he said, I want you to take 12 stones and place them here. And this is going to be a memorial. And again, when your children ask, you notice it's not just to remind you so that you'll remember, but so you'll teach others. So you'll pass this down generation to generation and they'll teach others. And here we are in 2015, and I'm standing in the pulpit telling you about these stones that they placed then for a memorial so that we'll always remember what God did. And why do you say all that, Dalton? Because rain is one of those devices. Rain is something that God uses, and when we see that rain, and I'm talking to myself here as well, we don't need to think, oh, rain, go away. We need to be reminded of God and the fact that that is a blessing. I'll explain that more in a moment. Let me go a little deeper now. In the past, God has used rain. He's used weather. For example, in Exodus 7, let's talk a little about this method now, how he uses it to complete his will, and then we'll come back to this memorial idea and tie all this together. But focus with me for a moment on Exodus 7 through 12, the plagues. Have you ever thought about when God was going through and using, going through his plagues here? I'm looking for a verb, but here's that vocabulary. See, I'm not just making this up. Words don't come to me well, but when he was exemplifying, the best thing I can think of, his power through those plagues, each of them were very connected with natural things. I mean, think about it. You've got the blood that turned into water. You've got the frogs, animals, that's part of nature. You've got the lice. You've got the flies. You've got the disease of the livestock. Again, animals there. You've got the boils, right, that were on the people. You have the thunder and rain, the fire, the brimstone that came down. There's the weather a little bit even there. You've got the darkness. You've got the locust. Don't want to leave that one out. And then you've got the death of the firstborn. I believe that was all of them. But if it wasn't, what do they have in common? You notice most of them have to do with nature, and even a few of them with the weather itself. The sun being gone, the thunder and rain. God uses these things to fulfill, that's the word I was looking for, to fulfill His will for man. And He uses this a number of ways. But we're talking about rain. Let's get our Bibles out. Be turning to 1 Samuel 12. I'll meet you there in a minute. 1 Samuel 12. In Genesis 6, for example, we see God using rain to fulfill His will. And I want to start with the negative sense that, again, we often kind of have in our minds, negative attitude towards rain. Well, in Genesis 6, it was negative as God used it to destroy all mankind. Think about how He did it. I mean, God simply turns the rain on, and instead of turning it off as He usually does, He just didn't kill the switch. He didn't flip it off. Right? He could have, with the snap of a finger, with the wink of an eye, with the breadth of His mouth, however He wanted to do it, in an instant stopped it. He just didn't turn it off. And so for 40 days and 40 nights it rained, and the entire earth was flooded, even above the highest mountains. That's incredible. He did that just so simply, the power of our God. And so we see Him use rain to destroy the world, certainly in a negative sense. But what about 1 Samuel chapter 12? Maybe one that's not quite as memorable. We know about this chapter because this is where Israel is wanting a king. You remember? Listen, Samuel, we want to have a king, and God tells them, Samuel, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. This was a wicked thing. But do you remember the punishment for this decision? God says, look, you can do this, I'm going to let you do it, but you better listen to that king, and you better listen to me, and that king better listen to me, or there's going to be trouble, right? But 1 Samuel 12, because of the decision to do it, there was still punishment. Look at verse 16. Now therefore, Samuel tells the people, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and He shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking you a king. God wanted to make a statement. He struck fear into their hearts, literally, with thunder and rain. Verse 18, so Samuel called unto the Lord. The Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. Why did they fear? Well, because it was raining? No. Because they had disobeyed God, and they knew His wrath. And they knew if God wanted to, He could not turn that switch off. He could just let it keep raining. They knew. I'm sure they remembered the promise of God, but could you imagine, though, how long it took for people, probably not up to this point, but you imagine how long it was before Noah was a little bit nervous every time that rain fell? How long it was before the generations of Noah down through the line stopped taking their children inside and saying, listen, let me tell you about this rain and what happened, right? It was a memorial even up to this point. And so they see this rain and thunder. They don't know what's going to happen, but they're scared. They're very fearful. But I don't want you to just focus on the negative aspect of rain. Let's switch gears. I want to look at the positive as well. Because ultimately, and really as it applies today, if you listen to nothing else I've said, get with me right here, because here's what matters today. God uses rain today not as a negative, as a blessing, just as He did many times of old as well. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Come with me there. Meet me there in Deuteronomy chapter 11. He uses things to fulfill His will, to fulfill His plans. But certainly we want to look at rain in its proper context today. It is a blessing. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. God is speaking to Moses, and of course He is telling Moses, this is what you need to tell the people of Israel. All right, look at what He says about rain. This is a different perspective. It shall come to pass, this is Deuteronomy 11, 13, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, to serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, that, notice, I will give you the rain of your land in His due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Why is that grass going to be there? Why are the crops going to be there? Because God says, I'll send the rain. Take heed, verse 16, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. When you go to 1 Kings 8, 35, you see something very similar. Solomon telling them the same thing, that God will bless you with rain as long as you are faithful to Him. Here's the point. Please listen to me. Here's the most important thing I want to give you with regards to rain. When you go to the grocery store, maybe you're like us and you have to go just about every week, and you're picking up your produce and things, and we don't really think about the fact that those started somewhere, probably, most likely outdoors somewhere in a field, and they're there because there was water. Where did that water come from that caused those crops to grow that you cook at home and place into your belly and enjoy so much? They grew because God sent the rain. That's why they were there. And because we have these blessings so often, almost daily, we kind of forget about them, that's what they are. They almost become inconvenient. And we begin to look at them as a negative thing instead of what they really are. When you see that rain come down outside, what do you think? You think, man, this is going to be a dreary day. Or do you think, what a blessing from God? I'm guilty. It's been a long time since I've looked outside and saw the rain and thought, this is great. I'm excited that it's raining outside, right? But we ought to, because the fact is, if that rain didn't come, we'd start to appreciate it more, wouldn't we? But we get it every day and we take it for granted. The song we just sang, right? Count your many blessings. One of those is rain. You wouldn't have the meals you have to eat if it were not for rain. You want to talk about meat? Now, I could probably live without, I guess I couldn't, but I feel like I could live without fruits and veggies. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. Guess what those cows eat to survive? You say, I don't need rain. Oh, yes, I need rain because those cows eat that grass. And that grass needs rain to grow. And that's what's going to put that steak on the plate. That's a blessing. We don't eat food and think, hey, this all came about because of rain. Ultimately, it came about because of God, but you get where we're going with this. 1 Kings 18, probably the greatest example, the most common example we remember about rain. But it's in the context of the battle of the gods, if you've heard it called that maybe before. You remember King Ahab and Elijah? And Elijah, this is about verse 17, I'm beginning in 1 Kings 18, about verse 17 and 18. Elijah goes to Ahab, and Ahab addresses him like this. He says, Elijah, you're the one, aren't you the one that's caused a lot of trouble for Israel? Elijah says, no, that's you, Ahab. You are the troublemaker. He says, let's settle this right now, if I may paraphrase a bit. And in essence, he says, let's have this battle of the gods. You bring your 450 prophets of Baal, and we'll gather all Israel together, and we'll settle this. And that's exactly what they did. They built two altars. They put a bullock on the altar, cut the bullock into pieces. They had wood, and the Bible says Elijah built his of stone, and there was going to be a battle, in a sense, in that they would both call upon their God, whether it was Baal or the Lord Almighty. And Elijah said, whichever one is real, if it be Baal, so be it. If it be God, then we need to serve him. But he said, you call upon your God, and we'll call upon ours, and we'll see what happens. And you remember, they called upon Baal, and nothing happened. There was no fire. The wood was there, but there wasn't any heat at all. But then on this side, Elijah says, look, you can almost picture him. Let's just make this as interesting and incredibly powerful as we can. I want you to take four buckets of water, and I want you to drench every bit of it. Drench the bull, drench the stones, the wood, fill the trench around it. And they did that three times until it was just soiled in water, just completely soaked. And they prayed to God, and I just absolutely love how it's described. The Bible says the fire of the Lord consumed it all. It goes into detail and says, this is around the 20s or so as you're getting into this, the detail is that all the wood was burned up, the bullock was burned up, the stones were burned up, the water was dried up, and every speck of dust was gone. You can just picture and try to witness that in your mind. Nothing was left. I picture just a flat, dry, black spot of land with a trench around it with nothing in it. That's what was left of that huge picture, and they knew. Boy, they knew this was God. Now, all of that happens, but here's what happens next. Elijah, after they kill the prophets, by the way, the 450, Elijah says, don't let them escape. They take them down to the brook and they take their lives. But Ahab's still in the picture. And Elijah says to Ahab, listen, I hear the rain coming. You better go home. Because what had just happened, for 3.5 years, there was no rain. You remember James 5, about verse 17 and 18? He prayed to God, and for 3.5 years, there was no rain. But now he's prayed again. He wants the rain to come. He went up on the mountain, as you recall, and God blessed them with rain. And he says, Ahab, you go home because the rain's coming. The rain is coming. When you don't have rain for 3.5 years, people die. There's famine in the land. Things have changed. And these people were serving idols. Because of their wickedness, God allowed this to happen. He heeded to Elijah's request, and things were changed. Let me make this as practical as I can as we conclude. God uses that rain even today. I think about passages like Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. God sends, he talks about first the sun coming up and down on the good and evil, but he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Don't miss the significance of that. It's not just the picture of showering blessings, although that's part of it, but literally he's using rain because that's one of the blessings. Rain comes for all people. He's giving that to everyone. We all use the blessings of rain, don't we? That's the goodness of our God. Let me ask you this question connected to that. Think about this. Do you think today that God still controls the rain? Or do you think he's kind of got it set on autopilot? Before you answer that question and really lock it into your mind, think about this. You might, and I might, pray to God and ask for rain. And if that rain comes, I say thank you. If I'm going to pray that prayer, I better believe that God can do it. And we know that he can. Is it possible that God still controls that and uses rain to fulfill his will in a providential way? It's absolutely possible. And I believe absolutely that God is in control of that rain. And when that rain comes down, there's nobody to thank but him. It's not because of any rain jig or dance you did or anything you said or even that you washed your truck. That rain's coming because of the blessings of God. And we ought to look at it that way for what it is. Matthew 6:11, in the model prayer, Jesus says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But then he says this. Give us our yearly bread. Is that what he says? Give us our monthly bread. Give us this week. No, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Have you ever thought about that? Why did he say our daily bread? I couple that with Psalm 68, about verse 19. The psalmist says, Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us daily with benefits. I love that passage. He loads us daily. You remember, many of you, by the way, and I thank you again for this, the day that I moved in, I was driving a U-Haul. It was the biggest one they had. I think it was 26 foot or something like that. And I was pulling the car behind it, scared to death the whole drive. And by the way, when I got here, it was raining, which I wasn't happy about, but I got a new perspective on that now. But when I got there and pulled up, you guys saw, I mean, we had loaded that thing up, and it was full, right? God, in essence, through this psalmist says, every day I'm giving you a truck full, just a load to the top, full to the brim of blessings. Every day. I think about Lamentations 3, 23 and 24, and you sing this, it's a song, beautiful song, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And he goes on to talk about the mercies, compassions, the blessings. He says, they are new every morning. Even though we get the rain all the time, it's new every day. It's a new blessing. And that God sent it to us. He says, great is thy faithfulness. And he goes on to say, thou art my portion, and I will hope, forever hope in him. Lamentations 3. I just love that passage. Friends, before we conclude, I want to bring out one other thought. The goodness of God, the blessings of God, motivate us. Right? We talk about, and I mentioned this morning, and we don't like to, we talk about the negative and hell and how it's going to be, and we're fearful of that, and we don't want that, and certainly that motivates us. But there's another wonderful side to this, a positive motivation. Romans 2 and verse 4, the goodness of God. He says, don't you realize that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You see, when we recognize that we're loaded daily with the benefits of God, when we see things like rain for what they really are as blessings, it reminds us, here's this memorial idea again, it should remind us of how good God is to us every single day. And when I think about that, and when you think about that, we ought to decide within ourselves that that makes me want to serve Him even more. That makes me want to live today faithful. I woke up this morning and it's raining outside. That's a blessing from God, and I'm so thankful that God blesses me daily. I want to serve Him. I hope that blessings like the rain, the weather, and even the little things like that that we might think are so little, that are ultimately huge because we couldn't live without them, right? I hope that those things motivate us, motivate me and you to want to do better. Maybe it is that you've lived your life in a way that doesn't show gratitude. In fact, it's almost very obvious that I'm ungrateful to my God because I've sinned against Him. I've taken these things for granted. I've not been a good example in the workplace. I've not been a good example to my brethren at church, or there's some private thing going on that God knows about, and even though He's blessing me, I'm turning my back on Him. Doesn't that make you want to do better? You know what to do about that. If you're a Christian, you just need to pray about that and repent. Don't do that anymore. Let the blessings of God motivate you to make tomorrow a different day, to make tonight a different night as you pillow your head, deciding to be faithful to Him. If you've never become a Christian, then you're missing out on spiritual blessings. We just talked about one of them. Oh, there are loads and loads of blessings, like we talked about, the U-Haul full. But if you're not a Christian, then you're missing out on 99.9% of what's in that truck. The spiritual blessings that are reserved for those that are in Christ, you can become a Christian tonight and experience the abundant life. To believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent of sin, confess His name, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. If you're not a child of God tonight, we encourage you to do so. The sun will be shining, the rain will be descending, however you want to look at it, but you'll be immersed in that water and come up a new creature, the old man done away, and you'll be a faithful child of God. And at that moment, you're going to be prepared to enter heaven. But it takes work. Yeah, it's a, this, you know, you the blah, 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 blah. Okay? All right? Man, I'm trying to hurry and get done. I need to quit that, I know. But what I was about to say was the devil has lost you. When you become a Christian, the devil has lost you, and he's going to hit you hard, and he wants you back. I'm so glad that we can laugh together, and I can remind you how human I am so often. Friends, but most importantly, I want to laugh and smile, leaving this place knowing that somebody made their life right with Christ. Won't you come and do that right now if you need to, as we stand and sing together.